He was a provincial cup champion on the footy field, dominated the Ironman claimers, and now is a Group 1 tipster. His name is David Gately, or Gator to his mates. So let's welcome in Gator for Racing Rewind on RSN Central.
0416905052 to join our conversation here with David Gately for Racing Rewind after a fascinating weekend of racing at Flemington, also up there in Sydney. The carnivals are well and truly in full swing now. And Gator joins us here on the line. Good morning to you, Gator.
Very good morning, mate.
How did you pull up after that wonderful performance? My spies tell me you smashed the clock in a personal best performance there in that mini triathlon that you competed in. Is that right? Am I spies correct?
Well, I think the conditions were perfect with no wind. So it was a pretty fast day. But no, I certainly had a good race, but so did everyone else, unfortunately.
So where did you finish, Gator? Because they tell me you were doing about 3:46 k's at the end of course, the run's the final leg. Now, 3:46 k's is just, like, I struggle to get 4.5, 5-minute k's, and you're a little older than me.
Yeah, a little. No, look, yeah, I had a really good race, but, yeah, it was a lot of fast people in front of me at the end, but, mate, it's a lot of fun. Keeps me ticking over.
When you were swimming and riding and then finishing off that run, and when you're probably hurting to keep your mind off the pain, were you thinking to yourself, how did the bloody hell did Luna Fox win that Australian Guineas?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, I remember they threw to me after the race, and so on, as Mardo does, especially on the big races, and we have a little synopsis, and I just said, well, you could have got 501 with me. So I didn't give it any hope. But what we need to do when we lose is learn and figure out how that happened. Now, obviously, you had a perfect run, but so did a lot of others. That, you know, and a lot of 300-to-1 pops have had perfect runs and not won. I think he was probably the third best run in the race. I think Pagaloa has done a lot of work early, run enormous. Chiritur Tony, the opposite end of that spectrum, out the back, forced really wide. Storm's home. So, look, he's won the race, been in front of the end, but I think he was probably the third best run in it. And the blinkers going on significantly improved him. He was only a couple of lengths off Chiritur Tony last prep, of course. So it's not as if he inept and then had a couple of issues. So, you know, that's how you get a 300-to-1 winner when all those things fall into play. And a couple of those at the top of the market either perform really well but are beaten, and a couple of the others, like Acer, underperform, Ole Kirk underperforms for different reasons. So, and you get the result you saw.
Blinkers obviously went on, and that was a factor, according to Michael D and Paul Pruska, that improved him, Luna Fox, there the other day. Michael D pointing out with Michael Falgate this morning that he probably is being a big bull, didn't really appreciate being inside of horses, so he might have just threw the dummy out there the other day when he was beaten that far. But Luna Fox, he was a 2-year-old defeating Ole Kirk, but he had lost form after that. When you're analysing and going through these horses, is that a rule that how long ago do you go back with their good form, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. So bottom line is, for any race, you have to be good enough to win. If you're not good enough to win it, same as me in a triathlon, those blokes are just too far.
Yeah.
If you're good enough to win, all of a sudden, you know, that's the main box that needs to be ticked. Then all the other factors come into play. And there's 100 of them we know in our great game. You know, with the blinkers going on, could you say, can you improve in that many lengths? Well, you know, that was the real challenge, and I guess that's how you get those sort of odds. If they ran this race again in 7 days, I would imagine Chiritur Tony would be a slight favourite over Tagaloa. Luna Fox would be probably third or fourth pick. You know, even a horse like Jet Propulsion was 3 wide. Ace, our worst part of the track. Ole Kirk hasn't really come up. Dom de Chute was below his best. So a lot of those that were, you know, $10 or less underperformed for a myriad of reasons. And that's what you need, you know, to happen to get such a long price winner, I think.
So that's the Australian Guineas for another year. The Blamey Stakes, Star of the Seas, defeated 50 Stars. Buffalo River, when you were watching Buffalo River, and Jamie didn't fight him because it's no good fighting a horse like that, let him roll. But did you think to yourself, you've probably gone a little bit too hard over the mile here?
Yeah, I did watching it live. I thought, you know, he's just been too keen mid-race. And as you get to the real pointy end, like a group two, you know, he could make those mistakes in lower grade, Buffalo River, and still win. But as you get up in the class, you know, that margin for error becomes less and less, doesn't it? Yep. Look, he did a good job. He's only beaten the last 50 metres. And it's not as if Star of the Seas and 50 Stars are hacked. They're multiple Group 1 competitive horses. They did give him a lot of weight. The Cronulla, they gave him 4 kilos. He's run really well, but Star of the Seas had the perfect run and was a bit too strong. Fast paced at 59 second first 1,000. So if you line that up with the Guineas, they were, you know, about 12 or 13 lengths quicker that first 1,000. So it was a real test of endurance over the mile.
The Australian Cup at Super Saturday there at Flemington. You've got 50 Stars at $4, Nonconformist at $8. Defibrillate, who's come a long way, the former New Zealander for Patrick Payne, now into $9. Paradis not nommed at the moment, but we'll be heading to that race at $9. Shared Ambition at $9. Steel Prince at $13. I know Dean Lester's keen on the chances now of 50 Stars backing up into that Australian Cup. Is he the horse to beat now in your eyes, Gator?
Well, I think he's crying out for the 2000. You go and look at the replay. Obviously, it was a brutally run race, and he couldn't really keep up. He was equal last under the whip on the turn. Then 3 lengths off the winner, made up 2.8 lengths on said winner the last bit of the race. So it was a very good run, and certainly, you know, as Dino's highlighted, did look the run of a coming winner as he's stepping up in troop.
What about the Bob Hoisted handicap? Like, I had a little bit of concern because I've watched Fabergino closely throughout her career, Gator, and she hasn't just been able to back up. Like, every time they had that quick backup with her, she didn't really perform at her best. And it even got to a point a couple of preparations ago that they would only give her one run in 4 months, 5 months. She'd go out for a break after that run. They would set her for a first up effort, and then she would just lighten off too quickly. But obviously she's matured into a horse, and Tiana Robertson is a trainer going places, but it's been some training performance to manage her this time around with a Melbourne campaign, and she just keeps on stepping up and even getting better, dare I say. Would I be right in saying that, Gator?
Yeah, well, she's always been able to run really fast time, which makes you a pretty good athlete, and I guess that's how you put that sort of CV together that she's got. You know, if you delete those races where she's tried 1,200 metres, not really her go. She's tried that real pointy end Group 1 races. Her overall record's fabulous, deleting those. Look, she gave them all weight. You know, Indian Pacific's no slouch. Gave that male 4 kilos. So what's that, 6 kilos relative to weight per age? Gave the third horse 5.5. And the three-year-olds obviously were... Look, they both ran well. Montessori, Albanta, but... they just couldn't match with the 54, you know, with the Fabergino, just kept running. I take your point on board pre-race. He hadn't been able to back up in the past. But I think the lesson is, you know, if a trainer sends a horse to the races, I think we just have to trust that, yep, that they're there to run well. Obviously, there are telltale signs they can come to the end of a prep or whatever. And we use a horse's history big time when we're assessing form. I think you have to trust the trainers a lot.
Out of that race, Montessori nearly started favourite. She was heavily supported. She wasn't disgraced. She just finished outside of the placings there in fourth. And Indian Pacific and Hummer Hummer. Now, John McCardle talking to the boys this morning, and when I had a chat to him on Saturday morning in the first word, he was indicating no trials for Hummer Hummer. She'll be better off for that run. She might have a good race in her once again this preparation.
Yeah, she's a really good second-level sprinter, isn't she? On dry ground, that's the key. She gets a truly run race, which she got on Saturday. They're at 24.04, first 400. First 600 was right on listed grade average, so a good, solid clip. Gave her a chance to run on in the best part of the track. Run on she did. She's quality on her day. A bit underrated by the market often, too.
Superdar was an effort and a half, like, coming to Melbourne from Orca Dolphins base in New South Wales, and he just travelled like the winner a long way from home. Is there a better race in store for him?
Oh, absolutely. He's the best horse in that. And I referenced that pre-race. I didn't tip him, thinking, can he come back to 1,200 metres, you know, 7 weeks between runs? Is he going to be fresh enough to run over them? So I shuffled him down the pecking order based on that. But I referenced, I think he's the best horse. So if you start with the best horse, it's a great place to start. And you were rewarded finding a winner because he just sat off them. It was a pretty light ride. It was a pretty soft win. You know, he's run 110.48. Really strong last 600 figures. 33.3 last 600, 11.8. Good horse. He's got a better win in him for sure.
Any other black bookers from that Flemington meeting?
Oh, look, probably a lot. I think it's difficult to not be impressed with the win of Shallot, but the secret's well and truly out. $10 into 380, if you don't mind. Love Matt Hill's call. The punters need it.
Yeah.
What a ripper.
Didn't we?
I think River Twain ran really well in the English Dash. So did Lord Olympus, as you as well, supported as well. We've touched on 50 Stars. We've touched on the Subedar, who can certainly go in places as well. I'd be forgiving of the likes of I Am Superman, Best of Days, You Covered Ground.
There was some great racing up there in Sydney, but that, talking about wonderful calls, Darren Flindell's call of the Chipping Norton was first class when Colette had just come of age. I know that she's had a pretty handy career so far, and Oaks winner also winning a Golden Eagle. Now she's taking on the biggest stars in the sport, and she went to war with Very Elegant down that straight there at Randwick, and Avilius, the old boy, said, hang on, I'm not finished with Just Yet, especially when there's a little bit of give in the ground. I won't be far away. But as James Mack said to Michael Falgate this morning, you don't want to get into a war with her because you can't beat her.
Yeah, it's funny, again, referencing Sky One on Saturday, and Mardo throws to us after the race. And if you're in a dogfight, and I said this, if you're in a dogfight with Very Elegant with 100 to go, just head to the queue. I think you need to watch the end of the race because he just doesn't let them win. It's a fabulous trait to have. He's got a great mix of class and courage, and I guess that's how you win seven Group 1.
Got a few questions coming through now, 0416905052. I've got another about 10 minutes with Gator here for Racing Rewind. Any other horses? I know it's difficult on a rain-affected track as well up there at Randwick, but any other horses that you didn't mind the performance of and we can keep a close eye on, like a Montefilia? How did you think she performed there first up in that Group 1 surround?
She was good. She got a long way back. She was well back. First up at 1,400. Look, I was against her on Saturday, but she was under pressure a long way from home, but then strong to the line. That tells you clearly she's just looking for further. Her 12-12 last 200 was bettered only by the winner. Forbidden Love, who was dominant, though, 11.86. And, the only filly to break 12 seconds home. Hungry Heart sort of was right with her, home 12.22. So I think it was a sneaky good run from her as well. Hungry Heart, Montefilia both ran really well, but they were a long way off the winner. It's interesting, so she won by 3 lengths. So second through to Thermosphere, who was 10th, there was only 3 lengths between that next 9 fillies.
Plenty of questions coming in for you, Gator here. Gareth and Gator Dog, what would you do without me? This new Night Watchman segment going off like a fish milkshake. 3 in a row, good working, Gator Dog. That's from Tom from Tamworth. And we were exchanging text messages there the other day, Gator. In fact, that Night Watchman probably is nearly ready to bat at number 3 these days. He's seeing them that well. He's made a couple of tons.
No, we'd certainly have to shuffle up the order. I think that's fair enough, but it's been a good little run. Long may it continue. And, we'll have to send the world, some of the royalties to Tom's way because it's been good fun.
Shallow, of course, that impressive winner in that last race for Archie Alexander. Do you think she deserves a spot maybe in the All-Star Mile as a wild card?
Look, I think she's really promising. I don't think we've seen her best yet. I think it was a terrific win. I love the fact she was backed as if she was unbeatable. I think she could run well in it. For those second-level horses, those horses that are aspiring to Group 1 level that aren't here yet, they would love the race to be handicapped or set weight penalties, wouldn't they? But the weight for age, the nature of that, just brings them all sort of you know, on the same level playing field and makes it a little bit harder for them to take that next step.
Gator, on your numbers, is there any way they can beat September Run in the new market? And is she an anchor in the multis?
Well, so, I mean, she still might draw gate one, you know. So it was certainly not the place to be on Saturday, was it? Those inside barriers up the straight were well, it was a real trouble for those if you're on. So, you know, it's a group one. It's a handicap, which sort of brings them all together as a, by definition. So I don't think she's over the line, but safe to say she'd be my top pick.
All right, then. There's been a few big lots that have just headed through the sales here at the Melbourne Premier Sale. Of course, thanks to Inglis and Lot 317, Gate. I don't know if you've been texting your bloodstock agent because it just went through the ring for around $450,000. It's a filly by So You Think out of Senro Kasaki, which is a Dane Hill Dancer mare. So there you go, of course, related to Rubasaki. So for around $450,000, Lot 317. Of course, the son of Done Deal, Lot 299, with Luke Simpson, as he put his colt through the ring, went for $550,000. So it's unbelievable, really, Gator, when you go and you look at the sales results around Australasia, but especially here in Melbourne. It's a resilient game.
No doubt. You know, I would have needed that quaddy a couple of times on Saturday, I think, to shop there for the So You Think. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's the industry strong despite a COVID, which is great.
Did Gator get gelded before the run?
Gelded? Yeah. But I wouldn't mind a few drug tests on a few of the boys, didn't he? But, no gear changes, no.
Hey, Gator, I fully understand a get-back horse, bad barriers, etc., but does Billy seriously have to be three lengths off the second last horse at the turn? It's a horse, not a V8, for God's sake. Poor Cherry Tortoni. Get set some bloody Herculean task. That's from Brett from Brisbane.
Yeah, well, I mean, he drew the gate, didn't he? I mean, you know, I think they would have been closer had he drawn a gate, and he probably wins. But, yeah, I think they had a plan. Same as Creed Harris in Sydney, you know, you could argue the same. Just, you know, that we're all brilliant after the race. We're all really smart. But, you know, could they have got going 50 metres early? Would that have made the difference? Or would that have taken the sting out of their tail at the end of the race?
Yeah.
These are questions that, that don't really have an answer.
And when you draw out the car park like that, a little bit like Ole Kirk, you either take that punt at the start and dig them up and then have a chance of them getting too keen in the run or being three and four wide the trip, or you take your medicine, you go back, hopefully there's pace and you get a cart into the race, basically.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the way most look at it. Either roll the dice. I mean, it's tough to do in a group one. I think with a horse like Cherry Tortoni and certainly Creediris, they've got such a good finish on them that it sort of takes that decision out of their hands a bit. You know, some horses simply can't run that fast at the end of a race. But these two can. So they let them find their feet. It's just a matter of getting the tempo and being in striking distance at the 200. And when they are, they tend to win.
Hey, David, does this autumn emphasise how hard it is to actually win first up, regardless of trials and jump outs?
Look, I think it depends on the athlete or the horse. You know, I think there's still a number of runners that are able to salute first up. So I certainly wouldn't be, you know, using that as a factor. I'd more look at each individual athlete and their profile. If they're proven fresh and they're trialling well, you know, happy to be with them. And there were certainly exceptions on Saturday, weren't there, with the well-back Shalot, with the well-back Stubadon, was off a fresh and a couple first up in Sydney as well. So it's not as if it still can't be done.
Hey, BJ wants to know, interested to hear what Gator thinks about Luna Fox, maybe an all-star mile. Usually history tells you if you run well in the Australian Guineas, you do get that wild card spot, plus the Sydney Carnival.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously we have to take the win at face value and take the odds out of it. There's different horse with the blinkers. As I referenced earlier, though, I still think he was the third or fourth best run in the race. So if they all fronted up 7 days later, I wouldn't have him on top, but you know, he certainly wouldn't be 300 to 1. He'd be closer to $9, $8, I'd imagine. And you know, we have to take the win at face value. Simple as that.
0416905052. We can fit in a few more questions for Gator. Gator, this is from Damien. Who is your number one pick so far in the Golden Slipper, or for the Golden Slipper?
Yeah, look, it's I think it's sort of, as what often happens, it changes. It's, you know, the landscape sort of changes as we continue to roll on. If you look at a market now with Tab, you've got Profit here at the top, who are so strong and impressive. He's got to do it at 1,200, though. Stay inside the horse that can sit off a pace and really finish hard. So, mate, you know, gun to the head, I'd say stay inside your narrow topic right now. But, look, there's still some water going to the bridge, and I certainly haven't done the race properly.
Gator, what did you think of the Arovian there on Saturday, of course? I don't think he had too much luck there back on the inside in the Shaftesbury Avenue handicap.
No, he ran well. He wasn't beaten far. He didn't have a lot of galloping room, as you mentioned, at a key stage. So I think he's... I think it was certainly a forgive. He'll certainly make the forgive pile, so spoiler alert. He's only beaten 2.4 lengths. Overall time was pretty good. They ran 1:22.8 off a moderate tempo. I expected Morvada to roll along, but he didn't really. He went 49.04 first 800, so about 7 lengths below the class average, which made it tough for the likes of Platoon and the Harrovians.
Is there a good race in Platoon, Gator?
He was terrific, wasn't he, on Saturday? I think we all thought there'd be more tempo, and you know, he was unsuited by that. He ran on hard, quickest time last 4 and 200, and his last 600 of 33.4 was about 6 lengths above class average. What he's also done is run third in a race where first, second, fourth, and to a lesser extent fifth and sixth all pretty much were on the speed or just off the speed. So I think that adds merit to the run.
Hey, Gator, do we sack Sakat now after that performance on Saturday in that final race at Randwick?
Yep.
Enough said.
Every chance, you know. Yeah. And beaten by a horse who did get a soft lead, in fairness, but then others ran by him as well. Look, he tries hard, he's honest, but he's not as good as we thought.
Gator was the longest price winner in the history of Australian racing at Group 1 level there on Saturday, with the starting price there on the VOP of Luna Fox at 300 to 1. So this has inspired a question from one of our listeners. Gator, what's the longest price winner you've backed?
I think it was a horse called My Gator 100 years ago when I had to ride my bike to the Tab to get a bet on. Wet track, that wide, one, I think it might have been Sale or something. I think it was 70-odd to 1 or something, but they were 50-cent units back then too. So, I mean, you're testing my memory, but that one sticks out because of the name as well. I went to the footy club, and all the boys loved the punt, and I was only a kid, like 8, 19, 20, and I was a bit of a hero for a couple of weeks till I got on the field and couldn't get a kick. Then they were against me.
There's a great story, obviously, that did its rounds on social media there after Saturday night with a lucky punter getting the Flemington quad. He spent $200. He went two horses in that first leg, including See the Stars at one, Field, and then Shallow won out in that final leg. Now, nervous weight, and she was heavily supported by Archie Alexander, but that's what punting dreams are made of, really.
Indeed. It's a good story, isn't it? And, I think, look, I had the field in the guineas and still missed the winner, so... well done. It's a good story, and just shows you it can be done. But you need a bit of luck. It's the nature of the great game.
And BJ is a fan of Luna Fox. He says, thanks, Gator, for your response to that question about Luna Fox. But also remember, it was only Luna's second up run and more improvement to come. So they're a little bit bullish, the team of Luna Fox. Hey, Gator, it's always a pleasure, mate. How do you recover today? Do you head to the beach?
I just had an easy swim, and... I thought I'd pull up better than that, but no, I was pretty sore. But, just an easy swim, mate, and then get into the form for Wednesday.
All right, mate. Good on you, Gad. It's always a pleasure.
See you, mate.